All right, so we left off here last week in verse number 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And we are talking about how God works in this day and time, in this dispensation, the time frame that we're in right now. And how God works is He works through preaching. The Bible says that God at due times hath manifested His Word through preaching. So nowadays, you're not getting signs and wonders, and as we go through 1 Corinthians, we're going to touch on that and we'll delve into even deeper studies of that. We've been kind of laying a light foundation on it, and as we go, we're going to build on that foundation. Why don't we speak in tongues anymore? Why don't we heal? Why is all that gone? Why was the Corinthian church doing it, right? And yet now we don't, but that's Paul's book to a church in Corinth, right? So we'll delve into that more. But what I was showing you is that God now manifests His Word through preaching. God's working right now through the written Word of God. For whatever reason, human nature likes to get stuck on miracles. People like that supernatural stuff. Even if it's dark supernaturally. People enjoy the studies of demonism and vampires and werewolves and the occult and all that kind of stuff. And let me just tell you the honest truth right now up front. I want you to know where I stand about that kind of thing. And I do not see myself ever changing from this position. It is not my calling to delve into cults. You know, the occult. It's not my calling to delve into witchcraft and to know everything there is to know about demons and demonism and all the rest of that stuff. That God knows more about that stuff than any of us do, no matter how much we study. And when you study your Bible, you'll learn some things about that. And that's the right context in which to learn them. Just study Scripture. Compare Scripture with Scripture. But don't become obsessed with all that weird stuff. You'll like it. Your flesh will like it. You'll enjoy it. You really want to run up your social media, you know, rankings. You can just kind of like go on YouTube and start yourself a YouTube page. And then just make sure that all those titles are clickbait. You know what I mean? The guys were teasing me this afternoon and labeling this morning's message. And they said, we can name it something like a poop smoothie. I said, that'll get people listening. I said, yeah, you can be like all the rest of the guys just doing that, whatever you got to do to draw attention and run the numbers up. That stuff runs the numbers up. People like it. Do a study on Revelation and make sure when you put the post out there, you put a bunch of demons and a dragon, a seven-headed dragon and all that. People just flock to that stuff. And something's wrong in your spirit when you want to flock to that stuff all the time. When that interests you, but like a study on, the goodness of Jesus Christ. The purity of Jesus Christ. The justice of Jesus Christ. You ain't no clicks on that at all. The Lord's Prayer. Jesus praying for you. Why wouldn't you want to hear about that? Why wouldn't you want to know about that? So it's in your nature to like that supernatural stuff. You realize God throughout human history only moved like that in miracles and supernatural at three distinct time periods, and between those time periods are long lapses of God working that way. You had it when God delivered Israel out of bondage. God gave them a bunch of miracles, right? Then He got them through all that. He put them in the land. He put them in a place where they could be fruitful. They could put their roots down. They could take care of themselves. And the miracle stopped. The manna stopped when God put them in the land and allowed them to start. Sorry, I saw Brother Mike just running across the lawn again. A guy's 70 years old, he's literally running. He's good. He's made it. That's a blessing, man. That's a blessing. Anyways, the miracle stopped when God put him in the land. So then God gives them all this time up until Elijah and Elisha. And when Elijah and Elisha come on the scenes, all of a sudden God starts sending some miracles back to start getting Israel's attention. And after that, the miracle stopped until Jesus showed up. After Jesus shows up, here come the miracles again, and then He leaves those miracles for a little while with the apostles, with the disciples, right? And that those miracles run just long enough to give Israel another chance to accept Him as their Savior. And when Israel had fully shut Him down again, because the Jews require a sign like we saw in chapter 1, but the Greeks seek after wisdom, when Israel shut Him down again, God says, all right, the miracles have stopped. Why? Because He had given the apostles what you're holding in your lap today. And that's what He prayed in John 17, bless them also, keep them also who shall believe on Me through their word, through the disciples' word. That's what you've got. So you know how God's working today? Not in signs and wonders. Now, hang on a second. Does God heal people? Yes, He does. In answer to prayer. Not by some healing service or some miracle. You know, sometimes He doesn't. What do? We pray that He'll heal them when it's somebody we love. Don't you? And praise the Lord, God answers prayers. But it wasn't this sign gift. It wasn't this miracle. We have the gifts of healing and bring them up and let's lay hands on them. And that's not how He's working today. You got to understand that. He's working today through that book in your lap. And whether or not you will or won't receive Bible teaching and Bible preaching and put the Bible to effect in your life. If you'll accept Bible teaching and Bible preaching and put it to effect in your life, you've got God working in your life. And that's how He's working now. And so we talked about in this chapter how Paul comes on the scene. He's like, I'm not going to do it the way everybody else does it. Corinth, I'm not going to come with enticing words of man's wisdom. I'm not going to show up and fit the culture. I'm not going to be what you have all over in this city and what you want this church to be. I'm going to come and I'm just going to give you the truth, and I'm going to give it to you plain, and I'm going to give it to you straight. And we talked about how he wasn't even going to occupy himself with the enticing words of man's wisdom. He wasn't up there saying, well, in the original languages, this is an unfortunate rendering. The Greek word for this is, and in the Hebrew what this means. And, well, this could actually be translated. There was no enticing words to get you impressed with the man's intellect. That's not how God works. You're not here today to, like, you know, watch some kind of a show. Now you got the churches that are, you know, to introduce the message. They've got some kind of a screen that drops down or whatever it is. And they're going to have this video playing with rock and roll music going. And all this crazy, you know, just all the effects that you get when you sit down and watch your television. That ain't how God works. Not here to entertain you. We're not here to try to rally the goats into the pasture. We're here to lay out some feed for the sheep that want to get something from God. Not going the way of the world. It's not happening. Why? Because we want God to show up. But just because we refuse to try to impress men with our intellect, just because we refuse to try to put the Lord in such a way that's socially acceptable and mentally acceptable and educationally acceptable, that doesn't mean we're stupid. Look at verse 6. Howbeit, even though we reject the world's way and man's wisdom, even though we reject having to try to prove everything through education and science, howbeit meaning in opposition to, or not regarding, although, nevertheless, where'd you get those definitions from? A dictionary. Let me say that again. A dictionary. I just don't understand a lot of the words in the Bible. Then when you run across one you don't get, stop and look it up. Howbeit, we speak wisdom. Do you see that? So this whole mentality, I don't know nothing, but I know it's Jesus. I ain't cutting it, bro. How are you going to win a lost person to Jesus Christ if you're proud of being uneducated? If somehow or another that's a spiritual badge of honor. Paul's not saying that. He said, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. You know where that perfection is, right? It's in Jesus Christ. It's in your salvation. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. He said, so the wisdom that we're giving you is not the same as the world's wisdom, but what we're giving you is wisdom. You guys realize the world has nothing on Jesus Christ? You realize college professors that don't believe there's a God have absolutely nothing on a God-called preacher who believes there is a God. They got nothing on me. It's like, I'm not impressed with their degrees. I got one of my own. They're not impressed with mine. They won't stop long enough to spit on it. To them, it means nothing. It's not accredited, right? Well, so what? I could care less, because them, theirs means nothing to me at all. Amen. So, we're fair. You want to debate? Let's debate. Sure. We're not intimidated by that. It's not like, well, we believe this because we're too dumb and uneducated and poor and ignorant to believe anything else. That's not the case at all. What we're speaking is wisdom. Man, you want to see it work? It's amazing to watch it work. Somebody comes in that doesn't know the Lord and they're under conviction and they got all kinds of sin in their life, and you get up and you start preaching and you watch them creepy crawl, man. I mean, they just can't take it. They just can't sit still. It's just killing them, just dying. Just as you pray they come back. That's a good sign. Did you hear me? That's a good sign. Well, I brought my family member, but they were mad. They don't like you. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. What do you mean? It's bothered them. If there was nothing to it, if there was no power, if there was no conviction, if nothing struck the heart, it wouldn't bother them. So that means there's great hope for them. By the way, some of them sneak around once in a while without telling you and listen online. So you just pray for them. Don't tell them, I know you're listening, but just pray for them. Why? This is why. Listen, I'm not saying that in a competitive spirit or a mean spirit. I'm saying it from a genuinely, honestly, a tender heart of reaching people. The truth has something to it that's addictive. If you at all are looking for truth, if there's anything in you that wants the wisdom of God, when you hear that Bible preached, there's something about it you can't escape. Yet not the wisdom of this world, verse 6, nor the prince of this world which that come to naught. So, I mean, what in the world is what they're giving you? What's it going to do for you in 100 years? Alright, so go ahead and spend all your time trying to prove that we came from monkeys. What's that doing for you in 100 years? How about taking a little time to know where you really came from and where you're going? What's that going to do for you in 100 years? How about taking a little time, once you know where you're going, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, how about taking a little time to get in the Bible and be faithful to be under Bible preaching and teaching and see what that does for you in 100 years? Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So what we're speaking is the wisdom of God, but it's in a mystery. It was hidden wisdom in the Old Testament. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now hang on a second. In Acts chapter 3, the message that's being preached, he says, you did it ignorantly. Ignorantly you crucified your Messiah. You guys realize that they did not crucify Jesus Christ knowing what they're doing. From this context, some will tell you that don't understand rightly dividing the word of truth. They'll tell you you get saved in the Old Testament by looking forward to the cross, right? And then they say you get saved in the New Testament by looking back at the cross. Well, everything you find in the Bible is that they weren't looking forward to the cross in the Old Testament, because when he showed up, they crucified him. When they believed the Old Testament, they still crucified him. They were so ignorant of truth, they didn't even realize what they were doing. While they claimed to believe the prophets, they were doing what the prophets said they were going to do without understanding what they were even doing, just flat, rebelliously rejecting conviction, rebelliously rejecting Jesus Christ, trying to make excuses for what they were doing and trying to find a way to blame Jesus Christ. They didn't get what they were doing. So how are they saved looking forward to the cross if they didn't even understand what they were doing when they crucified him? Does that make sense to you? That's a bunch of hogwash. Those Pharisees weren't, preaching looking forward to the cross. That wasn't a part of the Judaism and their religion. They didn't get it. The Bible tells you they were ignorant of it. Verse number 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Folks, I like that verse. It's a bizarre thing to me to be called of God to do everything within my power to get people's eyes on the eternal, to preach about somewhere I've never seen, and to tell them to live for somewhere I've never been. That's a bizarre thing. To tell them all the pain and the pressure and the difficulties and the troubles and the trials that they're going through, it's going to be worth it all. It will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, now you guys know why I said I don't see him with my family, right? I'm telling them that all the time. I'm believing that all the time. I'm preaching it all the time. I've never seen it. But I got a verse here that tells me, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man. So for me to try to put it into words would be futile. Because it's going to be so good when we get there, you've never even been able, as a man's instinct, Stay with me on that. We'll come back to that. In a human instinct, you can't fathom how good it's going to be when you get there. Isn't that weird? I haven't seen or ear heard neither. Haven't you had some good experiences in your life?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever seen some breathtaking views? Yes, how many of you know what I'm talking about when you say that? You like literally go, oh, like it literally just kind of like, oh my word. Some of those mountains down there in North Carolina, you can get in certain spots you can't even see from a distance. You know, you can stand back and look at them, but you get up in those mountains and on those mountains, and when you even up there, you can't see. You go down, hike down some of those paths. Me and Miss Grace did that shortly after we were married in our early 20s. I was in my mid 20s. She was just turned 20. And we hiked down there, and we went out. We walked out on a rock, and we're hiking down the trail. It was super steep, and then we get out there. We walk out on that rock, and the wind hit us. Because, I mean, we're in the trees up against, kind of against the mountain as we're coming down. But went out on that flat rock, and we got out there. It was like, boom, there's wind cutting through there. And it was the freshest, crispest, I don't know how to even put it into words. It was like, whoa. I remember going, and just the view down, just dropping down and coming up and all that mountains. It was, whoa. She grabbed my arm. Whoa. Beautiful. You've seen something like that. That's entered into your heart. You know how that feels. When you step into heaven, it's going to do something. It's going to be something that you can't even put into words right now. Isn't that something? I honestly, I mean, I don't want to go tonight or nothing unless it's a rapture. I'm good with a rapture. I'm not really all that pumped up about death, but a rapture would be all right. But I'm telling you, I think it'll be great. I'm looking forward to getting there. I watched Brother Paul walk in this morning. Me and Miss Grace were sitting right in the back in those two chairs, and he stopped for a second, and he kind of got his balance. He's trying to focus. And then he's taking cautious steps down the aisleway there. Her and I looked at each other and just, we smiled out of love for him, the blessing he's been, and knowing what's happened with his eyesight and all that stuff, and just seeing that. I mean, it's just a blessing to see. Maybe not sitting at home like, I'm not going to church, I can't see, it's embarrassing, I can't make out faces. You see, he looks at you sometimes to see, you kids need to be careful running around and stuff. He can't see. You know, trip him up, and he's going to hit his head in the wall, and then he's going to never let me get over it, you know. He don't need it. You guys see him pick on me all the time, right? He don't need no ammo, okay? You know, he's going to, you know, if the Lord doesn't heal him first, which we're praying he will, the second he steps in there, the next thing he really sees clear, something I can't even describe to him.
Amen.
Isn't that something, folks? Man. Now watch. Here's what gets really interesting. Verse 10. But says you guys can't get it, not man, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now wait a minute. Keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians. Go back with me to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. Here's what he's quoting. Now I think I got on the subject last week or the week before of Bible preaching, right? Not just preaching. There's a lot of stuff out there nowadays that's called preaching, but it's not really preaching. You know, take a verse and take a fit stuff. Topics, you know, forcing the Bible to fit what you want it to say based on your political agenda or your standard agenda or whatever agenda you happen to have right now. Not talking about that stuff. I believe in Bible preaching because all through my Bible, when I read my Bible and I study my Bible, guess what they did? They preached the Word of God. So Paul doesn't come in here and just say, all right, I'm going to give you a bunch of stuff and I'm not going to show you where I'm getting any of it. Just believe me. Paul's setting an example in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 of how to teach and preach the things that God has showed him. And what he quoted in that verse we just read is this passage. Paul was a Bible preacher. Verse number 4, Isaiah 64:4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. See it? That's what Paul's quoting. Verse 5. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, in those is continuance, and we shall be saved. So then he says, after he tells us that God has prepared things and man hasn't seen it or understood it or perceived it, then he says, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, the capital S. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So while he tells you on one hand, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, then he says, but there are some things you grasp. And spiritually speaking, we can understand some of this stuff. So it's never entered into your heart. You couldn't fathom it. On your own, you would have no concept of heaven at all. But since we have the Spirit of God and we have the Bible, we can then try to teach through the Bible and preach through the Bible and do something like what I just did to try to say, hey, you know how in creation there's moments that you're overwhelmed by seeing something you'd never seen before and just taken back by the awe and the majesty of God's handiwork right in front of you. Okay, so that's what it's going to be like. You see what happened? There's a little bit of a spiritual grasping of things that naturally in and of yourself you'd never even think about without God's Spirit showing you some things through the words of God. So we actually see through a glass darkly. We can see some things. We do understand some things. And listen, the better things that we really get are the deep things of God, like rejoicing in your heart over in Isaiah. Working righteousness. There are some things of God that we can see and understand. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what he just explained to you? Something that's coming that you've never seen before. He says, listen, don't get all worked up. Let not your heart be troubled. Ain't that a blessing, that security and stability we talked about this morning? You believe in God? Good. Good for you. Believe also me. Without God, without me, you don't have God. Don't forget the context of this, right? We talked about that this morning. He's talking to his disciples before he goes into his prayer in John 17, after he ate supper with them. Then there's the prayer of John 17. Then there's the Garden of Gethsemane. So what is he telling them? He's saying, hey guys, don't get all worked up. He knows what's coming very, very soon. He knows how alone they're fixing to feel. He knows how scattered they're going to be. And he's trying to plant something in them that later will bring forth some fruit. He's saying, listen, I got some stuff I'm going to go work on. Watch. Watch this. How long did the Lord take to make the planet you're on? It's not a trick question, folks. 6 days. 6 literal days and this thing was good, right? Rested on the seventh. And there's times you'll walk down a mountain, step out on a rock and go, haven't been to the Grand Canyon yet. I'm going to get there one of these days. I've heard. 2,000 years ago, he said, I'm going to go get some construction going for you. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man. It's not possible to fathom if this one can knock you for a loop, that one. I wonder if he's waiting just because he's like, Lord, listen. Father, and yeah, I know everything's ready. You say that again. Everything's ready. conversation with somebody this afternoon who's like-minded to me, but she had said, talking about where I'm at in world events compared to where some other people are at in world events. And it was like, well, I know so-and-so and so-and-so, they really are into the conspiracies right now. They really think that this is all this, that, and the other thing. And I know I told somebody that asked me where you're at that I think you're just kind of like a take-it-day-by-day guy. I said, yeah, you got it. You know why? The stage has been set since Acts chapter 7. Just a little bit of Bible helps you chill out. So the mark, the vaccine, the politics, the craziness of the world that we're in. So stressed about it. So stressed about it. Why? What good is your stress doing on the situation? What change is your stress bringing to the situation? What is your stress doing to your health? Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. May I suggest, and I'm not making this accusatorily, but may I suggest that maybe you're a little too in tune with the world and that is your problem? We walked into the ER. Chris said, oh, we don't have any masks. I said, they're going to have to give us some. Were you stressed? Nope. I walked in. There's a police officer standing there. He looked the other way, put his head down, picked his teeth, whatever he did. We walked up. She saw us, jumped up from her chair, ran around the corner. She came back. She reaches around the plastic. And we're like, thank you, ma'am. He's on. I ain't putting on no mask. That was a big cop. You can handle it. Maybe, maybe not. We don't want to find out. What am I going to do? Go to jail? Come on, man. Put the mask on. What if they make you get the vaccine? What if the vaccine causes all kind of autoimmune diseases down the road? I guess I'm stuck in the system. Hey, doc, you got a pill for that? Because that pill messed me up. You got a pill for the pill that messed me up? You got a pill for the pill that fixed the pill that messed me up, but messed me up more for that? So I got to, you know, what are you going to do? Honestly, like, I'm kidding with you. I'm messing with you. But what are you going to do? The vaccine ain't the mark. It's a setup for the Antichrist. So was everything Hitler was doing. You ever look at what Hitler was doing? You look at how he was marking people? You look at the fact that he had a messed up arm? You look at all the ways he lined up with the Antichrist? What I'm saying is, let not your heart be troubled. Maybe Jesus is like, Lord, I know the stage is all set, but I got to do a couple more tweaks over here because I think I can make her, my bride, a little happier when she gets here if I can just do a couple more tweaks. I really want her to be blown away when she shows up. You ever think of the Lord that way? Why not? He's that way. He's perfect. He is the perfect bridegroom. So He's got some things prepared for us. And although your heart, humanly speaking, if you don't know the Lord, what I'm saying right now is complete foolishness to you. But that's okay, because that's how we operate. If you know the Lord, what I'm saying right now, you're grabbing a little bit of something that you kind of like know it's there, but you don't. All right? You say, you need to explain it better, preacher. I'm doing the best I can. His Spirit showed me. I wasn't like Paul, the third heaven's Spirit showed me, but you understand, as I study my Bible and as I pray and as I look at these things, I'm like, man, yeah, it's going to be beautiful. He showed the deep things of God. How do you learn those things? You see the capital S, verse 10? God revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God will show you things about God. You know why some Christians don't get to know the Lord better? They don't really want to know the Lord better. They're watching the news more than they're reading their Bible. Do you ever check your your phone to see how much time you spent on it? My phone time was down 14% this week. I said, yes, 14% closer to Jesus. How do you know those numbers? Because I track those numbers. Why? Because time is finite. There's only so much of it in one life. Calories are finite. It's energy. There's only so much of it your body can use properly. Why do you track calories? I'm a lunatic. Leave me alone. I'm happy being crazy. You don't have to do what I do. What I'm trying to say is, how much time do you spend with the Lord? How serious are you about hearing from the Spirit of God? How serious are you about knowing your Savior better? I will guarantee you this, and if I'm wrong, God forgive me, I guarantee you I will not walk into the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and have God say, Mike, you took me too seriously, and you spent too much time trying to learn my word. You worked too hard at trying to fade it. I guarantee you I'm not going to hear that. He might say, come here for a second, we need to talk. Pull me over the corner and say, hey man, do you see your phone time? See your Bible time. See your prayer time. Come on, man. What was that all about? You know the Spirit of God wants to show you things about God? ain't that cool? I mean, man, that's cool. I'm not being like slang about it. I really think it's cool. That there's an almighty God in heaven who's put His Spirit in me. It's given me His Word and wants to teach me slowly but surely, over time, more about Jesus. That's pretty important. My wife needs a husband who knows Jesus better today than I knew Him yesterday. That's what she needs. My girls need a dad who knows Jesus better today than he knew Him yesterday. My church needs a pastor who knows Jesus Christ better today than he knew Him yesterday. And guess what? I need to know my Savior better today than I did yesterday. And the Spirit of God searches those things, those deep things of God. So when you get around a guy who knows all the deep things of government, the Bohemian Groves. What's that stinking skull and bones? What are you throwing those stuff out there for? Just so when you run across it, you just keep scrolling past. Freemasons. Why? The Spirit of God ain't trying to teach you all the stuff about the devil. What about demons? What about it? What about it? I'm not going to... You start getting all that stuff and your kids start getting all weirded out, man, and thinking scared to go in their own room and lay down in their own bed at night. Honey, you don't need to think about that stuff. We got Jesus Christ in this home. You got the Spirit of God in you. Let Him handle stuff that's way too big for you. Amen. Amen. He was handling it when you were an infant and you knew nothing else. And look at you now. He can take you through here and move you on. You need to know the Lord better, not all that other foolishness. Get away from that stuff. Tune it out. Tune Him in. He wants to show you some stuff. He loves you. Look at the example in verse 11. He says, for what man knoweth the things of man? He's given an illustration, right? This is good preaching, see? You see how you just read your Bible? If you're called to preach, you gotta stay in your Bible. Because if you soak up your Bible, it'll come out.
I want to learn to be a good preacher.
Okay, well, how much Bible did you read? What do you want me to teach you? I'm all for all that stuff. Older teaching the younger, I'm good. But not until a guy's like, yeah, I read my Bible. I'm serious about knowing my Bible. You read this Bible, and the Bible sets it up, man. Now He gives an illustration. He quoted you Old Testament, Isaiah 64, and verses 9 and 10. And then he goes in verse number 11, he pulls an illustration. He pulls a real life illustration. He says this, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Instinctively, men have a spirit. and instinctively in a male spirit or a woman's human spirit, you have things that are instinctive to you, right? Now, I could preach on that a long time, but it's things of man. They happen naturally. Where does that come from? Your spirit. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit, capital S, of God. So you realize natural men will know things about natural life and the natural world that'll get them through life and keep them to survive and to procreate and all those things. That's natural man understanding the things of natural man. But a natural man in and of himself does not grasp the wisdom of God. He'll grasp the education of man, the philosophies of man, the thinking process of man, the reasoning process of man. But naturally that man won't be able to understand the deep things of God. So it is pointless for you to argue with lost people. It is pointless for you to argue with lost people about the King James Bible. It is pointless for you to argue with lost people about eternal security. It is pointless for you to argue with lost people about the gifts of the Spirit. It is pointless for you to argue with lost people about politics and abortion and homosexuality and all the rest of the stuff that they want to get you into and argue, because you're trying to explain them something to them that only the Spirit of God can teach them. And they're going to use man's wisdom, and you're trying to use the same, you got man's wisdom and you got everything they got, but you're trying to teach them something they can't grasp. Because you have all the stuff they have. I get what you're saying. I understand how you're looking at it. I get your argument. Okay. But let's talk about you. You got peace in your heart? Let's talk about you. What are you going to do about your sin problem? Let's talk about you. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you found what you're looking for in life? I refuse to let them drag me off into that stuff. Wherever they try to lead me, I don't follow. The guy that controls the distance controls the fight. Right? If I'm a grappler, I'm not going to stand up if I know you're a striker. I'm going to fall on the ground like Brother Joe was talking about and grab your legs. You know what I'm saying? Why? I'm not going to fight where you're good. We're going to fight where I'm good. Right? We're going to go to my world. Well, I'm not going into your world. Christians run right into their world. Because you've got the human instinct like them, and you're not walking in the Spirit of God, so you're running right into you're getting into a mess, and you're driving them away over stuff they can't understand. What do they need? They need the gospel. How does the Spirit of God work on them in this day and age? Reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And how does He witness to them? Creation and conscience. Use those weapons. That's the ox goad the Holy Spirit of God is using on them. Shamgar, get you one at a time. That was a really good point. You read that and say he slew 600. And you're thinking, man, that guy ran into 600 dudes and wiped them all out. No, where does it say he did it all in one battle? That was a great point, man. Yes. Got one, went and buried him out back. Got another, went and buried him out back. Got another, went and buried him. And it's added up to 600. You see that? You know you can get you one at a time. You can start seeing them get saved. You just got to start understanding how the Spirit of God does and doesn't work. Stop trying to get them to see everything your way. Work the way God works. Stay on point. Natural man doesn't get these things. It's the Spirit of God that gets them. Now, verse number 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So there it is. That's as succinct as it can get. You have received God's Spirit since you were saved. So now the spirit of the world is not supposed to be in control anymore. That's why Christians are so jacked up right now. The spirit of the world is running the show, and you're all stressed and frustrated and miserable with the politics and the world. Maybe why? Because you're not tuning into the right spirit, man. You tune into that stuff, of course you're going to get jacked up like everybody else. We expected this. We preached it was coming. We were right. That makes me feel good, man. I saw it coming. Why? Not because I'm right and you're wrong, because the book is right. I expected it. Can you believe it? Yeah? How come you can't? Maybe you're just a little bit more worried about yourself than you are about... Maybe you're more worried about freedom than you are about... Man, when it gets dark, man, the light you've got is just so much better. The Lord gets sweeter in times like this. Did you hear me? In times like this, the Lord gets sweeter. Christians shouldn't be drying up and backsliding because of the world. You don't have that spirit. Verse 13. Which things also we speak? What? The things freely given to us of God, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. The Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So what's he doing? He teaches you the Bible by quoting your Bible. He took you over to Isaiah 64, and he is showing you the comparison, and he's what the Bible interprets the Bible. You got to know your Bible. You don't just grab a verse and interpret it the way you want. You interpret it the way God said it. And it's not the way man's wisdom is going to teach it. It's not philosophy. It's not psychology. It's Bible. That's the way God teaches you. Bible. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The way you learn your Bible is through spiritual discernment. The natural man, you in your natural state. That's why a good thing to do is get on your knees before you open your Bible. Or at minimum, I typically pray after I read. Because that's when I really have heard something usually. Or he's put his finger on something. Or my mind's kind of been tuned a little bit. And I find that for me to go better. But before you really get into reading, it wouldn't hurt to be like, all right, Jesus, where you at? I'm here. Would you show up? All right, Lord, give me something, please. Please, I need something. That's praying. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I tell the new Christians all the time, because it is hard to start reading the Bible if you've never read one before. Is that okay that I said that? As they come and they say, it's just so hard to understand. I just have a hard time reading my Bible. And they feel guilty saying it. And then they hear me preach against Bible correcting preachers. And they're taking it personal against themselves. And that's not you I'm talking about. When they say, get a dictionary. Well, I mean, get a dictionary. But that's not. I'm not saying in that spirit towards somebody first learning. Listen, just read as much as you can. And ask God to give you something when you read. Don't try to understand everything. Something when you eat. Kids were telling me about Miss Ashley's little one, Claire. She says, one, Claire says two, three, four. What's next? Six. You're missing five. You know, it's kind of cute. What's happening? She's getting something. On the way to church, she's sitting there and they get to Tanglewood and she starts saying, church, church, church. Yes, Sophia was riding with them today or something. She says, church, church, church. She says, yeah, are you ready to go see your friends? Yes, church. You ready to go see Pastor? She says, Passy. I think that's a good name, Passy. What's she doing? She's getting what she can. She don't understand it all. She said she sits down and to watch TV. She wants to watch TV. So what do they put on the TV? She put her on the bed and they turn on the TV. She says, church! So she watches Pastor Peacock. 2 years old. What's happening? Well, I told them, I said, well, you just wait and see what happens to that in 20 years. Why? Just getting what you can. I don't got it all. That's okay. Get what you can. And guess what? God will give you something. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You know, a spiritual person really does step back and say, is that right or wrong? Should I or shouldn't I? He judges things. But he lives in such a way that other men can't say, hey, why are you doing that? Should you be associated with that? Should you still be going there? Ain't you saved? Should you still be doing? Ain't you a Christian? He himself is judging no man. So a spiritual person steps back and evaluates everything. Folks, you ought to be evaluating your life. Where are you at? How much do you read? How much do you pray? Where are you at with God? If you're spiritual, you're judging that stuff. Gentlemen, and leading your home, you're looking around and you're judging things. You're watching. You're staying in tune. You're staying on top of it. naturally, you'll decline and so will everything and everybody around you. You've got to stay active on it. It's maintenance. You've got to stay up on it. Verse 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him?" What are you gonna say to God when you need to, "God, here's what you should do. Lord, we've got to have us a talk." Yeah, no. But we have the mind of Christ. See it? That's how he wraps up chapter 2. Well, how do I know I got the mind of Christ? "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was found in fashion of man, made himself a likeness of man, being found in fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." It's the mind of Christ. Obedience, humility, putting yourself down, doing what you can. Oh, by the way, "Wherefore God highly exalted him." You know what phase you're in right now? The mind of Christ. Humble, obedient, doing what you can. You know what he's going to do later? Hey, come on, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord, and you're going to go, "You mean we get to stay here? I stay here?" Yeah, you're secure. "You mean I'm never going to live?" No, we're here. This is it. Now, folks, that's something worth living for. All right, we'll stop there for tonight. We'll pick it up in chapter 3 next week. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us these things. Help our hearts to be able to grasp the spiritual things, the deep things of God. Help us to love our Bibles. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We ask you to work and move in our church. Speak to your people this week. Give them some good rest. I pray you'd meet with us on Wednesday night. And speak to our hearts, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.